You're listening to the longest-running weekly episodic Filipino wrestling podcast. This is the Smart Gilas Pilipinas podcast, episode number 56. We are calling this the Lamar Woodley episode, but before that, Stancy at your service. Raf Camus to my right, Ro Moran right across me. You're going to have to fill me in on Lamar Woodley.
Lamar Woodley.
Teka na, papi. Kaano-ano si Shailene Woodley.
Hey!
Nice one. Hey. Lamar Woodley, linebacker for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Yeah. Part of their heyday Super Bowl runs.
He was actually one of the last remnants.
Yeah, one of the last remnants apart from Big Ben and... Who's that guy? Who's the beard? The bearded guy?
Which bearded guy?
The bearded defensive lineman.
Which bearded defensive
lineman? The one who reminds me of Daniel Bryan, I forget. Anyway, but yeah, the Pittsburgh Steelers not doing so well nowadays, but Lamar Woodley still a solid linebacker, even in his advanced age at 30.
All right. We're recording this on April 16th, so that's a Thursday. And today in the Philippines was basically when the 2014-15 NBA regular season ended. So playoff seedings, playoff matchups are official now. We know that OKC's not going to be in the playoffs. The
Sadly.
Pelicans will be. So Anthony Davis makes his debut. We also know that over in the East, neither Indiana nor Miami are going to be in the playoffs. It's Brooklyn at number 8.
So Jandrick Lim is very happy tonight.
Yeah, our friend Jandrick Lim is going to be very happy for the next week until Brooklyn gets eliminated by the Hawks.
Well, you know, the matchup's not so bad, though.
Not really. I mean, come on. Brooklyn. Have you read Paul Pierce's interview on ESPN?
No, not
yet. That interview came out and he said that for a team with a lot of supposed alpha dogs, Brooklyn tends to just be too laid back to give a crap.
Oh, well,
that's essentially what he said. So I don't think they're going to last very long. For a Bulls fan, bro, tell me about the Bucks-Bulls matchup and how you feel about that.
I don't know. I don't know what to feel about it. Because at the same time, it's Jason Kidd helming the Bucks.
Yeah.
So I could say that it could be easy, but they got
it's
there.
It's never easy.
Yeah, it's never easy. That's why I say it, but you know, as a Bulls fan who has been used to what first round, second round exits for the past few years,
and has been let down by Derrick Rose every single time.
Exactly. Exactly.
And he's back. For those who haven't seen,
quote unquote back, air quote back. So I'm keeping my expectations a bit hedged first.
Interesting.
You never know. We got eliminated by the Nets.
Last year?
No, 2 years ago.
Two years ago.
Yeah, 2013.
In a Game 7 series that was epic.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited for the Bucks. I mean, Giannis' first playoffs.
Yep.
Jason Kidd making the playoffs.
Second time.
Yeah, for the second time as a head coach. So that's interesting. The Celtics are in the playoffs.
Thank God.
Holy shit, we're in the playoffs.
The Rondo-less Celtics in the playoffs.
No, the Isaiah Thomas Celtics is what we are now.
The Jay Crowder Celtics.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, no, it has to be mentioned that it's not Rondo.
Yeah.
It's true.
Those who don't know.
Yeah. Brad Stevens, you know, his playmaking wizardry full display.
Isaiah Thomas.
You know what? It's funny that it's funny lang. It's just a fun fact about Brad Stevens. He's younger than Tim Duncan.
Holy shit.
He's 36 or 37 years old. So that's Brad Stevens for you. In the West, I know you're a Warriors fan.
Yeah, man.
How threatened are you by the brow?
Ah, shit. The thing is,
I don't think you should be that.
I'm not. Anthony Davis, yes, you are a superstar. Unfortunately, Draymond Green, my pick for the Defensive Player of the Year, by the way, is going to lock him down. It's easy. It's easy for them. Past matchups have shown that there is a definite matchup problem there.
All right.
At that position. However, end of the day, MVP vote of Steph Curry. He deserves it. He's going to win it. He's gonna take it.
I disagree. I think you're a ninny for saying that.
Because you're James Harden, Mark.
Yeah, no, James Harden deserves the MVP because he is the most valuable player. You take a look at the Rockets roster Harden has been working with. Tinanggal mo si James Harden doon, putana, they're gonna stink. They're not even gonna make the playoffs.
But then there's the counter argument of best player on best team doing the best work of his career. Up to
Harden has been doing the best work of his career.
So has Steph. But the thing is, Steph leads more statistical categories than James Harden.
If we're talking about statistical categories, did that be Russell Westbrook?
No.
But he's not in this conversation
because he's not in the playoffs because he's sitting at home watching TV. Even with a scoring title. I apologize to all of the OKC fans, but I'm sorry. I'm sorry, son. It's been a bad year.
But if this were like 2 years ago, we would all be heartbroken about how OKC isn't in the playoffs.
But yeah, considering everything that's happened.
They were supposed to be the Heat kryptonite. Supposedly. Right.
No, but in recent years, I think this year alone, Durant and Westbrook are kind of turning heel.
Yeah.
Yes.
If you've been noticing, but Westbrook really turned heel on the media this year. Durant has been angry all season long at everybody in sight. So, you know, parang lumalabas yung pagka-heel characteristics nila. And funny I should mention this because today...
Wait. Before we go to that, I have a question for you. How are you not a Bucks fan? You're a Packers fan, but
I'm a Packers fan. No, I appreciate...
Aren't you from Wisconsin?
Isn't your bloodline from Wisconsin? That's true. And the only thing is, I have tapered and pessimistic thoughts about the Bucks. However, did grow up a Jordan fan, which is why I make the exception for Chicago with the Bulls.
Honor fist bump.
Even if I hate the Bears.
It's not
a regional thing. I respect the heritage of the Bulls. And our friend, Owel Babasa.
Oh.
Olsen is going to be happy to see his Bulls.
It's a geographical rivalry.
It is a geographical thing.
But not as much as Packers and Bears. Yeah. Speaking of Owel Babasa, our good friend Owel. Medyo na booking na siya eh.
Bakit?
Sa Uno.
Ay, shit.
Yeah, that's right.
Son.
Owel just unmasked, man.
It wasn't his fault. It wasn't his intention.
Yeah,
he had to blame the writer.
Right.
Yeah, and
it's his fault.
Yeah, so guys, if you don't know what we're talking about, pick up your copy of Uno magazine, the 100th issue with Jasmine Curtis Smith on the cover. That's the one you're looking for. PWR is featured in an article and in trading cards for the first time.
No, we had trading cards, I don't know.
In a magazine.
Oh, yeah, in a magazine. You cut them out and, you know, keep them for your own.
Have them signed at the next PWR show.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, we're so happy about that, of course. And we're telling you this because we are the SGP podcast and we are the home of Philippine Wrestling Revolution.
Right.
Now, let's backtrack a little bit and talk really quickly about this article on Grantland that came out.
Shoemaker wrote a fucking basketball article that has wrestling overtones.
Yeah.
It's not the first time.
It's not the first time he's done
that. No, but, you know, for the playoffs.
It's not the first time either.
Yeah, he's done that before. Like, 3 Aprils ago, he made an NBA WWE comparison article. So this time around...
I don't remember that one, but anyway, let's go with it.
This time around, he basically fantasy booked the NBA playoffs a la WWE. And it was a whole lot of fun. According to him, when he tweeted me, he said it took him a couple of days to write it.
And you read it in 10 minutes.
It's
a good read. It's a good read.
Yeah,
for everyone who is a fan of basketball, and I know a lot of you guys out there read Shoemaker, listen to Shoemaker, it's a really good read. It makes you feel a little bad that he booked OKC to be in the playoffs. But hey, it's a good read. It's a good read. And the Daniel Bryan comparison to my Golden State Warriors makes me very happy.
Why? I mean, I don't know. Ako hindi ko siya na-gets agad. And you're going to have to do a little bit more convincing just to get me to agree.
Why though? Why
don't you get it?
I mean, I would rather take your argument na Daniel Bryan equals Derrick Rose because of all the injuries.
No, it's not.
It's not a one-to-one.
Yeah,
it's a team. It's a team representing a character.
Team is
when the you one. When you see Golden State right now, you see Daniel Bryan 2013.
Uh-huh.
Where, you know, he's still up and coming. You know that he's good. You know that he's supposed to be a world heavyweight champion at this point in his career. However, everything that's happened to him, all the circumstances that he's faced, he has so much to go forward. And, I mean, eventually he's going to get it, but you know that he's not there yet. And even if Golden State makes West Finals up against the San Antonio Spurs, as I predict, and they lose in, like, what, 7 games?
Yeah.
I'll be fine with that. I'll be perfectly fine with that as long as next year they destroy everyone. Because...
Really?
Right now the Spurs are on a warpath to make this back-to-back happen.
Yes, they are. I'm glad you recognize that.
And they have a very good chance of making it happen. The only thing is that Golden State is their only true threat in the West.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yes, your Houston Rockets.
Yeah.
Your Houston Rockets are a pretty good team, but I just foresee it ending up that way.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if the Rockets lost in round one against the Mavs,
Yep.
I will not be surprised.
If it comes down to the Bulls, it's going to come down to the Bulls versus Golden State or San Antonio. That's my call already.
Seriously? Wait. I wouldn't even go that far.
Why?
I wouldn't go that
far. Dude, the Hawks or the Cavs are coming out of the East.
Nope. It's the Bulls.
Didn't.
Nah.
I would love that to happen, but I don't think it's going to happen.
It's the Bulls.
If I were booking the WWE, the NBA
yeah.
in WWE form, I wouldn't even put the... I mean, the Bulls are my team, but I wouldn't put them in the finals. I would put the Cavs in the finals.
Part of my heel, guy, yeah. You have heels in Love, LeBron, and Kyrie. You need heels.
That's true.
Yeah, whoever goes up against them...
They're like the weird underdog heel.
Yeah.
Who was the last serious underdog heel that we've seen?
Miz.
No, actually. Not really.
Yeah, Miz. Dude.
Miz.
Wait, Miz now?
No, Miz for 2011.
Ooh, yeah.
Plucky champion heel. Yeah.
Speaking of the comparisons from Daniel Bryan to Derrick Rose, which I think is more warranted again.
Yeah, Daniel Bryan's injured again. Or there are reports coming out that he's undergoing neck pains to the point that the WWE had to pull him out of the European tour.
As a precaution.
Right. So wala pang diagnosis na specific.
Yeah.
We don't have a medical report.
It's rumored that his health is getting worse again, which is kind of expected. If you don't have surgery on the affected inner area.
And he hasn't really changed his wrestling style since he came back.
That's what I said. I wanted him to go slow, but he doesn't want to do anything.
He doesn't want to listen to you on the podcast.
Yeah, exactly. And you know what? This whole thing, I can sum it up as, there are prices to fame. Come on. There are prices to fame.
That's the perfect analogy, and let's leave it at that.
Dude, that's a larger than life reference.
I know.
You didn't have to point it out.
You didn't have to. That's why.
That's how you ruined the joke.
Damn it. Exactly. Damn it, Stan. Yeah, we're still not over the Backstreet Boys.
Hey, the concert's in like 3 weeks.
3 weeks already? You still have my ticket, right?
No, but you know what? Yeah. Extend the metaphor. Come on. If there's anyone who enjoys the way Brian wrestles right now, all I'm going to say is, all you people... Can't you see how your love for him is affecting his reality?
No, it's true.
It's a stroke of genius. No, I gotta give it to you. It's genius.
Holy shit.
Slow clap. Okay, before we snap.
So we gotta have him go slow again. Maybe we should stop cheering everything he does until he goes slow.
Take it slow, so slow.
I wasn't going to go there. Not even I was going to go there. Come on. All right, we got a packed show ahead of us. Episode number 56. We've got guests, PWR fans, and filmmakers Mick Vergara and King Palisok will join us. We're also going to do our weekly review of the best and worst in wrestling. It's a quick spots and botches list for this week. And, of course, our picks of the week. That's all going to come up very, very shortly. So right now, let's remind you once again that in about a month's time, two of the best Pinoy wrestlers will be competing for the first ever PWR Championship. It'll be Bombay Suarez versus the Senorita Jake De Leon. PWR Revolution X happening May 23, 6 p.m. at the Makati Cinema Square. We want you to be there. We're going to be there. It's going to be a whole lot of fun.
Tickets at 250 pesos only.
That's right. My Libreng meet and greet pa right after the show. So you better make sure you stay right after that final bell rings.
And we're going to be having an after party. Details to follow. But do know, you can party with your favorite PWR superstars right after the show.
And we're working on getting the beer inside the location so we can actually enjoy some good wrestling over cold beers.
Well, not that we'll be drinking because, we'll be working.
But all of you...
I don't know about Ro over here, but...
Mm. And from the sound booth or something.
Yeah.
Something.
Yeah. Something, or maybe backstage, we don't know yet, but... Yeah. Row will be working too,
and there will be. We'll try to get the beer around.
Yeah,
right. We wish we had other fake sponsors. Actually, I mean, the PWR thing is actually a real. It's a real plug because it's a real thing. It's actually happening. But we wish we had other fake sponsors to fool you with. But not this week. So we're gonna head on straight to our spots and botches list this week. So we can't do this without doing this at the same time. So we have to do this with formality. This is your list of the best and worst in wrestling this week. It's our recap and review of this week. We call this list
Spots and Botches.
By the way,
boss. Shit, ganda.
No. Talk about this on air. I just got, before we delve into spots and botches, I just saw a prototype design.
No, I've seen it, yeah. I'm
of the PWR
at it.
Why am I the one championship belt because you're not on your phone.
Okay.
Get on your phone. And it's looking real good. Yeah. It's concept art. But yep. It's looking real good.
Yeah. No, I'm excited because I know I'm going to be holding this at the start of Revolution X. I'm going to be coming out to it. That's right.
Can you, once you raise it up and do your whole promo, can I touch it?
No.
Why?
Because you have to be professional. Come on, man.
I want to touch it.
Bro, you can do it backstage.
Okay, cool.
But in the ring, it'll be in my hands until the moment that either Bobby Swartz or JDL win it.
I know. I can hand it to the referee after, Justin Roberts.
No, you're not going to do that.
No.
I will.
No.
You sure you're gonna have a whole ceremony?
Yes.
Okay, cool. All
right, now you know.
Spots and botches!
All right, let's start off with Hideo Itami and his video package from last week's NXT where they basically showed his entire road to WrestleMania.
The thing is, with these promo videos, and considering that last week was the WrestleMania Access show, that basically, what, 3 weeks? 3 weeks delayed? 3 weeks delayed, and then they show it. We already knew the results. We already knew that Itami made the Andre the Giant battle, the armbar.
Yeah.
The armbar.
Yep.
And he didn't win. He actually didn't perform very well. But the build-up that this show showed was just so good. Like, I was in tears midway through because you see that Hideo Itami, the man formerly known as Kenta, left so much behind in Japan. He left his family, his wife, and two kids. And they weren't with him to see his initial success in NXT. And to finally see, you know, his dad, first and foremost, hit the fucking GTS. And second of all, be at WrestleMania. It's such a moment for him, and it made me happy that, you know, as an aspiring wrestler, that maybe someday one of our boys can make it like that and, you know, have a Hulk Hogan moment too. But it makes me happy to see something like that and to see a guy. There is no more deserving a guy from NXT than Hideo Itami to make this kind of a debut at WrestleMania.
All right. I've seen the package. I think that, you know, the video package could have been more timely. Like if it was
a week earlier,
right?
If they put it out like the Friday before Mania, then yes, it would have been perfect. But the fact that it's delayed, it makes it full circle.
Yeah, but in timing aside, minor gripe. I wish it had come out earlier, but you know, I'm pretty okay with it. So yeah, let's give it a spot on the list. Sticking with NXT, last week's NXT, the April 9 episode, was actually pretty solid as a whole. Like wrestling wise, the matches we had.
I just wish they didn't waste an entire episode on a recap of what happened in Access.
Because we've been seeing those videos for a while.
Yeah, parang it's what, 2 weeks after WrestleMania.
Yeah. So again, it's a little late. Delayed kinda. Right.
I felt like it was, I don't know, a way to cool off NXT's momentum.
But yeah, the momentum that they've been having is ridiculous right now. It's good good show.
Now it's stopped because of what? WrestleMania and everything that happened after.
Yeah, but I'd like to think that they're working towards that again. They're trying to build a head of steam again. I watched like half of this week's NXT before you guys came in.
Okay.
So far, I like what I've been seeing. I was like midway through the Enzo Cass match against Shoot Nation, so that's kind of fun. It wasn't really a squash match. So again, I've yet to finish it, so I'll give my full thoughts probably next week.
Next week.
Right, next item on the list, Eric Rowan had a vignette come out, and they basically recycled something from when he re-debuted as an individual back in October or November. Yeah. I think that's a botch, because did any of them forget who Eric Rowan was? Were the fans supposed to have forgotten who Rowan was when we all remember that he was in that whole Authority storyline?
It's still fresh.
It was weird, It was weird.
I found it off.
It was weird, because it's been such a long time since that we didn't need to,
We didn't need to see it. If they were going to do something, they could have done something new.
No, they could have had Rowan cut a promo.
Right, or ako iniisip ko actually was they would have had Wyatt destroy Rowan, like what they did, and then have Wyatt take Rowan back in. To show him, see what you're doing on your own is not working, come back with me, and let's show you how it's done.
That could have happened, but fantasy booking aside, Well, nothing we can do about it.
Right, right. Other things that happened on Raw this week. This one deserves a spot. Barrett versus Cena. It was a fun match.
It was a fun match, but I have to give credit where credit is due. That London audience was so behind Barrett.
Obviously.
No, not just obviously. It's like... You have English wrestlers come out like Paige. Paige got a good pop, but Barrett's pop ridiculous, man. They were already chanting "Thank you, Barrett" before he even said a single word.
You know why? Kasi kalaban ni si Cena.
Yeah.
If he was facing any other wrestler, he probably wouldn't have had that big of a pop. And it's because the London audience was pretty smarky.
Oh yeah, I'll give them that. But the match itself, very solid match.
No, I won't take anything away from that. I think let's just bounce off something that I think Ro brought this up last week. Now, John Cena needs to learn how to preserve other people's finishers.
That's
by
true.
Not calling for them in the middle of the fucking match. So yeah, it just really hurts the quality of the wrestler's finisher.
I've mentioned how this is a problem last week, and well, at least ngayon, Barrett was able to kick out of Cena's finisher.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At least there was that.
Right, right.
But you do not kick out of the bullhammer.
You shouldn't.
I think Cena's the first guy to kick out of it.
Yeah.
Cena's the first guy to kick out of Stardust's finisher, Dean Ambrose's finisher.
Yeah. It just goes to show that, you know, that it was actually, the bullhammer's actually a very well-protected finisher up until this episode.
A lot of those finishers were well-protected.
So are they doing the well-protected finisher breakdown for everyone? So
yeah. So Cena can win? Yeah, pretty
God
much.
God damn it.
Yeah, Cesaro's next. Remember, nobody's kicked out of the neutralizer just yet.
It's been three years,
since Cesaro debuted with that finisher.
Nobody's kicked out of the neutralizer.
Right, right. How about yung handicap match? Randy Orton versus the Tag Team Champions.
So terrible.
Sad, fucking terrible.
I was okay with it at the outset.
Yeah,
because when you build the tag team champions as bullies who will tag team against one guy, parang it builds them as credible villains talaga. Ideally, especially in a situation where that one guy jobs to the tag team because it gives them heat, diba?
Exactly.
Tag team ninyo eh.
Exactly, and then you see Randy Orton beat them single handedly
and with very little effort at that.
Mm-hmm. Without even feeling stressed by it all.
Yeah, it's like the way that he conveyed the match was so nonchalant.
There was no drama.
There was no drama. There was no build up. It was just, haha, I win. It's basically.
So, but I am a tag team division.
Exactly.
If one guy
can beat the champions.
Yeah. If one main eventer can beat a tag team champion.
And just it's not just because it's Randy Orton. And even if it was, Randy Orton and Cesaro technically should be physically at par with each other. And then you add Kid into the mix, and it's just like, oh, come on, man. It doesn't make sense.
It must have been a wasted opportunity. But I don't get it. Like, bakit di nila naiisip na if you book Orton to win against Cesaro and Kid, you effectively shit on your tag team champions.
And the whole division.
And the division as a whole. All right, next item on the list. Let's talk about Naomi and let's give her a chance because she turned heel and I liked her motivations, especially when she had that promo with Renee Young.
The backstage promo?
No, it was Saxton. With Saxton, yeah. Sinabi niya na kabatcha si AJ sa NXT. AJ had a 3-year run, multiple time Divas champion, and then she gets to retire and be called one of the greatest Divas
ever.
She's
like a legend.
Right.
Like, I was calling her out last week.
Right, and then Naomi is still around 3 years later and she hasn't gotten any further than where she was.
Here's the thing. Okay, she makes sense, but we don't need another heel diva. And dami na nila.
Actually, that is true.
But
Navi's a heel.
Yeah, I mean, like, why couldn't they have
played her as a good guy?
No. Why couldn't have any of the other heel divas done this and, you know, use the same reasoning?
Which is true, because it is true that AJ has held down the division for so long.
Like,
but
sure, it's shocking, but at the same time, you compromise the balance of the Divas division. Because now the only face diva, I think, is
Paige. How about Eva Marie?
What
about her? You want to phone a friend?
I mean, she's there, but I mean, if this is your Total Diva spot, just to mention her.
Yeah, actually, Total Diva season finale happening next week. Every Wednesday, back to back, 10 p.m.
No,
we have to announce this because they are giving away a gift pack for next week, which consists of T-shirts, a Bella's T-shirt or a Natty T-shirt. There's a Natty mug in there, and the Divas Championship belt.
Ooh, a replica?
Yes, a replica belt.
Is it the toy replica?
Yeah, it's a toy replica.
Okay, fuck.
I've seen that.
Still, it's the butterfly belt, guys. Yeah. If you guys want a butterfly belt
for your girl
or for yourselves.
Yeah.
If that's your thing.
Yeah, I mean, if you love the Divas, you want to represent
them. If you're a girl.
If you want to give them a chance.
Yeah, then go watch the season finale and just find out how you can win. They're going to be posting details on social media.
Yeah, watch out for that.
Right. Going back. Yeah, Paige lang ata, diba? She is the only face diva in the division right now. I'm not sure if Summer Rae should be counted.
Summer Rae, doesn't count because Summer Rae's
weird.
Yeah, she still hasn't recovered from her shooting thing. She hasn't been on TV.
What the hell are you talking about?
Not as much as before. Not as when she was with Fandango.
No, it's
the same thing. What are you talking about?
She's getting the same mileage.
Is she?
Yes.
Really?
Yes. You're gonna know it.
No, I watched.
So you didn't watch Damien lip lock with her?
I did watch that.
Oh. You didn't see Miss TV on SmackDown?
She was on Miss TV?
Yeah.
I didn't watch SmackDown.
That's where Damien and Summer Rae lip lock.
I saw the highlight video on Bleacher Report. I saw the highlight thing on Bleacher Report.
Still.
I don't watch SmackDown.
Excuses. I don't watch SmackDown, and I knew what happened.
I watch SmackDown.
You have to count our fantasy points. That's why you know.
Exactly.
All right, moving on. The finger poke of doom was supposed to have taken place on Raw with the Kane-Seth Rollins storyline. It was very compelling. I think we've mentioned this on the podcast last week that Kane is headed for a face turn, and as of now, it's a good thing.
Oh, if you were looking for a sign that Kane was turning face, this is it. What I don't understand is some people label it as confusing storytelling, but
it's not.
It's as simple as it can get. If all of this is making you start caring for Kane,
then they're doing their jobs right.
Kasi parang it's not to me. I don't think it's them not knowing where they're going with Kane. I think they know what they're doing with him.
Yeah, and
it's pretty damn clear.
And I think it's logical, din naman, if you have a group of mga type A personalities and one of them is succeeding, the chances are when one gloats, someone's bound to feel inferior.
Right.
And when you have someone who's feeling the brunt of the gloating, that person's going to want to give you your comeuppance.
Right.
And that's basically what's happening with Kane and the rest of the authority. Because Kane has become their laughing stock, their punching bag.
I think those who don't think it's anything just refuse to accept the idea that
he's breaking away.
No, not just that. That this is actually some simple storytelling about involving Kane.
Right.
Because, you know, Kane
we're used
to
seeing Kane as a demon
Kane.
Yeah,
yeah. Or as a background prop for the authority.
Yeah, and now he's getting all these stories. And this, just one quick question I threw out when I was watching Raw. Like, when did Kane ever give a shit about constructs like a job and a career
he's
and
not
future?
A demon anymore.
He has business propositions to work out.
I know. It's funny. I mean, I know the answer to my question, but it's just funny when you think about it. Now, you know, Demon Kane and Corporate Kane are two separate and different identities and personas.
It's just so latently explained. That's the only thing.
Na iba talaga sila, diba? So, there. Last item on the list before we wrap this baby up. I don't know if you've noticed this, but the theme song of Extreme Rules is Irresistible by Fall Out Boy, which is a good song on its own, but at the end of the day, it's a Fall Out Boy love song.
And it's not meant for Extreme Rules. They could have gone any direction, anyone else, any other Fall Out Boy song from that new album. It's just not this one.
Ito na sabihin ko sa'yo. Did you like the WrestleMania theme song?
No.
There you go.
But I like GDFR for Fastlane.
Yeah.
GDFR was good. Enough. Yeah, parang it had that Harlem Shake.
Was that
the
Kid Ink song?
No, it's a Flo Rida song.
It's the... You're going down. It's this one. Going down for it.
That's an okay song.
Yeah, see? It's okay. I mean, like, Irresistible, not okay.
Not okay.
No, but,
because Irresistible kind of sounds like this for people who don't know.
my nails on the tile. I just follow your sin. You can't just follow my smile. All of
the Flo Rida song wasn't a perfect fit for Fastlane either.
Yeah, but it was okay. Like, it was tolerable. It wasn't like mushy.
Yeah,
Irresistible was borderline mushy.
Eh, okay. It's nitpicking. It's nitpicking. Yeah. I mean, WWE selection is
emphasizing the love between Lana and Rusev. It's extreme.
Or they should start using Creed songs again, bro.
Really?
Why? Creed is dead.
No.
Scott Stapp is bankrupt.
Nah. He's like crazy delusional.
Isn't Scott Stapp homeless now?
Yes. Yeah, he is.
Now he is. Or in sacrifice.
All right, that brings us to our to the end of our list of the best and the worst in wrestling this week. This has been
Spots and Botches.
We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to be having Mick Vergara and King Palisok for our interview this week on the Lamar Woodley episode of the SGP podcast.
I'm so excited.
All right, we're so excited to continue on with the Lamar Woodley episode of the SGP podcast. It's episode 56, in case you didn't catch on. Our guests for this week are two of PWR's biggest fans. They are also part of the entertainment industry. They are part of the film industry. You may know them from projects like Ang Mascot and Bang Bang Alley. They are directors. And last I heard, they're looking into doing a little bit of a project for PWR. We'll talk more about that as we go on. Please welcome to the SGP podcast, Mick Vergara and King Palisok.
What's up? Hey, guys.
Please distinctly identify yourselves on the podcast so that people know what you sound like.
Hello, I'm King.
Louder.
Hello, I'm King.
I am Mick.
And hey, guys.
All right. Welcome to the podcast. It medyo may konting learning curve tayo kasi I don't think we've had like a multi-man setup like this in quite a while.
Yeah, it's been a while. But
sharing one mic.
All right, so let's start off with asking you guys about the PWR experience, because I think I first heard about you guys from the shows that we've had. So which show did you guys attend first, and what was your impression coming into Makati Cinema Square for a PWR event?
I think it was the December show. December. The Vendetta, so I think see Raf here posted the poster on Facebook, and then I actually thought he was one of the wrestlers, so
not yet.
So yeah, so it was I saw it on Facebook, and then I invited Mick over, and then that was it. When we like, I think the fact that it was held in Makati Square.
Yeah,
that parang sold na kami.
Like behind this huge black curtain, like, wow, this is really some underground shit.
Everyone thinks that. No?
It's so gangster.
Anne said the same thing.
She was expecting a fight club.
Like, I think it was all our first times. Mine, King.
Ah, yeah, see, Anne didn't. First time.
And also Corks and Tracy. I think we all watched the show. Like, we just texted it. Like, King, thank for that. Like, I've liked your page.
Oh yes, thank you.
Like a long time ago, and I thought it was just like a role playing thing.
thank you for your honesty. Yeah,
yeah, no, I really thought it was like it's role playing. Like, wow.
In a way, it is. In a way,
yeah. Well, all wrestling is. But yeah. I really thought, like, because I used to do the wrestling role plays back in the day.
Right. Like, online.
Right. Okay, you join a fed and then you role play as a wrestler. I thought it was that. It's like, wow, they're really like the production values up the wazoo. It wasn't until King like texted me like, hey, you wanna go to, like, it's real? Like, you're actually gonna
wrestle. It's happening.
Like, sign me up, King.
All right, so coming in, you had these expectations. You had no idea if people were just role playing or if it was real play fighting or whatever. What did you notice first from the moment you stepped through that black curtain?
This is it, Mick.
This is it. Like, it's like it really didn't match up to like our like expectations. It's like, I mean, once you step into Makati Cinema Square, there's a weird vibe already.
Yeah,
like, you know, this is gonna be like a rough and tumble sort of, you know, backyard thing that, you know, which is always good because, you know, that's where all the real shit happens anyway.
Right. Any favorite wrestlers that have jumped out at you, like, for, you know, from the outset?
Yeah, on that first show.
Who's the first?
Well, my instant favorite was.
Yeah, you can describe it again.
We'll help you out.
dude with the yellow shirt.
JDL.
Dude with the yellow shirt.
I think I actually have a photo. Para obvious fan. But yeah, he was really good. As in the fact that, you know, he went up to each and every one of them.
Hey, thanks for coming out to the show. Thanks.
Oh, talagang.
And that's genuine. Like, JDL really likes people coming out.
I feel like he genuinely loves what he's doing.
Oh, grab it. And he's good.
He's a great face. And I think also Brian Leo.
Of course.
Like, you, number one heel.
Yeah, you need a great villain for like that jeepney lion fucking killed. With the jeepney driver thing. Yeah. It's like we were in stitches.
Did you think that the thing with the mom was real though?
That was legit. I found out on Quark's episode that it was real.
It was Chris Panzer's mom. Or Mama Panzer.
Mama Panzer, as we like to call her.
What was she coming back?
She was at the last show.
She was at Terminus. I think she's always at the show.
No, she was at Vendetta. But it happened at Terminus. This was Terminus, yeah.
But that was her first.
I believe that was her first time to see her son wrestle.
Right. Hey.
And it's always an experience about, like, when you're a parent, you watch your kid wrestle. It can go both ways. So we saw that with Mark Di Manalo when his dad was over there. And, you know, with Mama Panzer.
His real dad.
He brought him up on
stage. Yeah, yeah.
No, he went out to hug him after he won.
Oh, okay. Cool. The first time. Oh, yeah. He also stood out. Mark Di Manalo.
How about you matches? Like, are there any matches from either the December show or the February show that, you know, that stood out?
Oh, definitely the Feb show. That killer jump release.
Level up.
I must say. When I first saw the venue, it was really, dude, are they really gonna use that balcony over there? I really felt it was just a matter of time.
The balcony was a Chekhov's gun.
Yeah, exactly.
It was that, and talagang buwis buhay. Yung like, you know, who jumped it?
Mayhem Brannigan.
Yeah, Mayhem Brannigan. Like he broke character and like, you know, did like the cross. He looked at the sky, knowing like this could be the last time I see this person.
GPM.
Wait, are you guys Adenista?
Yes.
Interesting. Like, can we say this on air? The balance in the room is so much better now.
Yeah, shifted.
No, because these two guys give me shit for being from Ateneo because they're both from UP.
No, pero like I say, din naman also, in a way, I kind of understand the whole AMDG, the whole Lucci at Lux things. I get that. All right, so you've got an established fandom, so to speak, na rin naman of PWR. But I want to talk about your wrestling fandom now. Like, where did this begin, and who was the first wrestler that caught your eye? So anyone can start.
I think it was because they used to do wrestling on IBC.
Yeah, right.
13. Like it was in. They did. I think that was my first sort of exposure to the wrestling. But it would have to be Hulk Hogan. I mean, like, he's a, you know, a touchstone for a lot of wrestling fans, you know, the charisma and everything. And he had that cartoon that...
Yeah, the Saturday morning cartoons.
Like, I ate up, like, Hulk Hogan's Rockin' Wrestling.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, that I ate that shit up. And, you know, I didn't seriously start watching wrestling until I knew it was available, like, on the regular on IBC 13. And me and my brother Jonty, we would watch. Like, we'd stay up late. And you know how that... There's always that phase, like, you can't watch wrestling.
Yes. Yeah.
It's too violent.
So it's usually from the mom, diba?
Yeah. You are forbidden from watching wrestling.
Or it's not real.
Or, like, you can't do these moves on your brother.
Which is true.
But, you know, that was to my brother. Because he's a lot... My younger brother's a lot bigger than me. And, you know, he can really do all the...
So you were the victim.
Yeah. Let's just say I was the more technical wrestler. And he was just, you know.
He was a power guy.
He was a power guy, yeah.
So what moves did he do on you? Or what moves did you guys do on each other?
Like, you know, the usual sharpshooters. All the stuff that's easy to do that you could...
Execute safely.
Oh. And then you know how you play on the bed, like each corner of the bed is like a corner and you jump off of it.
Right.
And then we would do stuff like, you know, you would play music. You would play the entrance music and then you would come in into the room and then we'd wrestle. Then we even had fucking we even had a casket match.
Wow.
With a fucking Monopoly box. Like, we could not get away with this shit in our house, so we would play at our friend's house and
right.
he would use his Monopoly box to, like, you know, do the casket match.
Yeah.
This is wild.
Do all the other stuff. So, you know, I've got a pretty strong relationship to wrestling, even at an early age, like me and my brother. And, you know, ever since the IBC 13, I think it was the Survivor Series. It was Luger, mm-hmm. Undertaker, and the Steiner brothers up against Yokozuna, and who else
is that?
Ludwig Borga? Is that...
Fact check!
I think this is Survivor Series 92, Ata.
Yeah, 92. Like, this was the All-American team. Like, and, you know, it was like such a great, you know... I guess also influenced... It's a very cinematic moment when Undertaker agreed to join... Team Lex, the Lex Express, and you know he opened his coat and it was the sort of old style Confederate United States flag, and you know that you took that as a sign that I am going to join the Survivor Series.
You know what? The only guy you missed was Quebecer Jacques.
There you go, the Quebecers.
Yeah, so you had Yokozuna crush Ludwig Borga and Quebecer Jacques against Lex Luger, Taker, and the Steiner brothers.
Yeah, yeah, that was an epic, and I think it was the Tatanka IRS. You know,
so that's what really got you started in.
Yeah, yeah, because it came on the regular, so yeah. You can watch every week. But there used to be like when you were still too young to understand the concept of a channel.
Yeah,
like I didn't know where to tune into like the old Coco Beware stuff, the old, you know, Hulk Hogan stuff. It was really when they started syndicating these things that I actually started watching on the regular all the way until college.
How about King? Let's talk about your fandom. Where did this all begin, and who was your favorite wrestler growing up?
Well, ako naman kasi parang mas casual fan lang ako. So, but I of course, it, you know, I really grew up with sila Hulk Hogan and all. But I think it was more Bret Hart. Parang yun yata yung mas na-attach ako as a kid growing up watching wrestling. Face talaga that really hooked me was post sila Bret Hart. It was really when
the Attitude phase.
Mga DX and
the Golden Age.
The Golden Age. Yun talaga yung nasundan kong
storylines.
Yeah, storylines. Yeah.
So you guys are Attitude era kids talaga, like when you think about it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean when you're parang fully formed na yung then you can actually
comprehend
like the youthful enthusiasm of
mine. And parang until now parang malakas pa rin yung influence niya. Like I saw WrestleMania recently, and you know,
NWO pa, NWO
DX.
Pero
and
talaga
and
people really still chant over it.
Yeah, yeah. And we would record we would stay up because they didn't sort of normalize the airings of the WCW and the WWF. At the time, this was like around 95, 96. They still didn't have like a standardized schedule that, you know, that
people
was
could
the
follow.
Late.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, so we would really stay up on school nights and record VHS. Like, we would wait for it, record, and then go to sleep, and then just
watch
it the next day.
Nice.
And then, you know, we'd have, like, we played all the games. The really excellent
video games.
Yeah, yeah. No,
so you had an N64.
Yeah, of course. Like any self-respecting wrestling fan would have an N64 because it had the best engine at the time.
So which was your favorite game? Like from the video games you actually got
obviously
to play?
Obviously it was No Mercy.
Yeah, No Mercy and every incarnation of that engine was great.
Uh-huh.
And as a consequence, like me and my brother, who got me at the rap?
Yeah.
When they announced that the game engine for Def Jam Vendetta would be based on the No Mercy engine, we ate that shit up.
Def Jam is really good.
It combines rap and wrestling. Like, I'm there, man.
Interesting.
That was the game with Ja Rule, right?
That was the game with Ja Rule, with DMX.
Yes.
All the Def Jam.
I love
all the Def Jam.
Yes.
Man, like Run DMC was the announcer.
Yeah.
It was off the charts.
Are you guys still followers of the current product though? Like, do you get to watch wrestling today?
Not so much.
Yeah, like, they'll just ako lang yung recent pinakalitas yung
when the controversy started to hit, that's when I started getting interested again with Daniel Bryan and you know how McMahon likes the big guys and, you know.
Apparently, he has a new group now, like Authority or
Authority. Yeah.
That's why when I heard that WrestleMania ended that way, I'm not going to spoil anything if you guys haven't.
No, it's okay.
No, it's fine.
When Brian didn't, when you know, when they cashed in that immediate,
the briefcase.
I was really happy because it was like a nice, agile young dude.
Mm. In Seth Rollins, winning the championship right then and there.
I think my interest sort of tapered off a little after college. When you started to earn money. And you couldn't just watch all this stuff.
So I still tried watching it all the way until around 2008. But when we moved houses and then we had to, wait for the cable to be fixed. So parang I think it was that time talaga na wala na yon.
So let's talk about that phase where you had to earn money or you had to actually establish yourselves and get a career. How did you guys get started as filmmakers? Because I had filmmaker friends in college, and then like when I would hang out with them, parang okay, I have this image of them. Pero once you leave college, once you leave that environment where you're sheltered, how do you even start in an industry where it seems more cutthroat than the corporate world? And I say this because, like, in the corporate world, there's always a ladder you can latch yourself onto. Whereas in the film industry, you're more or less on your own from the minute that you graduate from college.
I think it was really more after when we graduated, it was really more, trying to figure out what to do, what exactly to do, like, in the prod business. In our case, we actually started, doing production work by starting out with music videos.
Mm-hmm.
So at the time, it was really more a matter of, finding ways to build your portfolio.
Yeah.
So it was really...
on projects for very little money.
Yes, exactly. So yeah, at the early stage, we really had to, email all these bands in the mga Yahoo mailing lists and ask if they needed the music video, ganyan. So, and then it was, I think that's how we started. It was really, I'm actually surprised that we're still here.
And a lot of our good friends are from the music industry because of the bonds. You sort of like, hey, we really like your song. We don't got a lot of money, but we really want to do this video for you. And then you sort of form like a nice bond with these artists. And King's done that, and he's won for... What did you win for, King?
Not yet. Let's talk about that.
Well, award-winning King Palisol.
Yeah, from an award body that isn't existent anymore. at the time, there used to be an award show called the NU Rock Awards.
For the younger viewers.
For those of you who don't know, NU used to be on 107.5, which is now a JeJe station that we all hate very much. Win Radio. I hate it. It brings me chills when I'm in a cabin and it's 107.5. Paren.
I think at the time that was really the award show. Of course, there were other award giving bodies, but at the time nung ano namin, parang we really felt like damn, nakapasok ka lang sa NU Rock Awards, parang okay ka na. So, but yeah.
So which one was this again? Please remind us.
In 2008, we did a video for Pupil called Monoblock. And then in 2010, we got an award for Tanya Markova for Disney.
For Disney.
Yes. Hey, I like that video.
so there.
With Odin, I believe.
With co-directed Odin Fernandez. Odin, who's now in Australia.
Wait, he moved?
Yeah. Shout out to Odin.
Hi, Odin Fernandez, if you're listening.
Actually, I feel like he would have enjoyed, he would have went.
There's a lot of, after that first December show, he really spread the, guys, you gotta go to this thing.
Yeah, actually, these guys, mahilig mag-push,
No, we appreciate it.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, I mean, I think Ange, when Ange Pesumal was here, she was telling me, na, you know, you guys were like telling them, na, you guys gotta come over, you guys gotta see a show, you know. Like,
yeah, definitely.
The power of word of mouth, yun pa rin ang nagpapavira ng bagay.
And then that's how you know, you see the love for these things.
Right. I was actually so surprised when I went to the event.
There was
after,
an exponential increase in like everything.
Times still, and times
like we thought we could just stay where we sat the last time.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Whoa, yeah, no. And we came in late, right?
Yeah.
You came in like second match.
Yeah,
we didn't expect it either.
I gotta stand.
Were there seats, Baba, when you guys came?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
There were chairs.
There were chairs,
but yeah,
no space.
But who cares?
And yeah, people were standing on chairs.
Yeah. Just serve beer at these things.
We're seriously working on that.
Right, so let's talk about your big breaks. Because I think everybody in the film industry, whether you are on cam or off cam, there's always that big break, something that tells you that you've made it. So what was your big break, and how did it feel like when you actually got to that point? So we can have Mick go first.
Well, I'm still waiting for that, actually.
Modesty.
No, I'm still waiting for that. But I am lucky to have a lot of projects that I'm proud of.
Uh-huh.
That, you know, that I've gotten off the ground, which is actually a big thing for a filmmaker. Like, you have this project you really want to do and you want to get it off the ground.
Yeah.
Whether that takes you somewhere, that's a whole thin story. But, you know, your bottom line, at least off the bat, is to get something off the ground.
Right.
And for me, that was Mascot. And in no small part to Chris Costello. Like, he was a driving force of Mascot. And we sort of produced it ourselves. And we the stars aligned for that project. And we got it off the ground. And that's a huge part thanks to Chris. Like, I just nonchalantly gave him, like, hey, man, there's this great comic.
Yeah.
And I think it'll make a great short film, and like, we should talk about it sometime. And then it sort of lost momentum. And then 3 years later, he was like, you know, let's do this year, or we're never gonna do this. And I realized, like, yeah, Chris is right. We have to do this, because if not, so it's that. And then, you know, being a part of a lot of other projects, I think, is a highlight for me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, being part of a show we did, me and King together, that Quark got us all together for, which is Rakista. Very short-lived community-esque show, even before Community came out. Like, I will defend that to death.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, being part of, like, bigger productions, helping friends, I mean, those have their own rewards. And uh-huh. I think I'm very lucky to have all those opportunities.
I think it's like just a trivia that, you know, me and Mick were actually classmates under Quark's class, one of your guests.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So we were his students.
Once upon a time.
Yeah.
He's partly responsible for where we are now. So yeah, see, actually Quark gave us a lot of
breaks,
opportunities. Would you know, drag us to his shoots and be part of his
projects.
Team. So yeah, it was really so we really owe a lot to
Quark.
Yeah, so
and Direct Marilu also.
Of course, yeah. So
Marilu Diaz Abaya.
Yeah, the late great.
Well, the thing with film, there's actually no film course in Ateneo. So
there's only AB.
There's only AB communications, which is like a generalized, you know, version of mass comm or comm arts.
Yeah.
So it was really not like in UP na talaga may specific na course na. So it was me, Mick, and a couple of other, you know, students or comm students who were really into prod. We really started bonding, and that's how we, you know,
how Prod Madness happened.
That's how Prod Madness happened, which is like our informal group of
friends
and colleagues, some of which have, you know, won MMFF awards for directing English Only, Please.
Yeah. Thank you, I guess. And we all, like, the good thing about the industry, it being small, and you know, you get a lot of support. Mm-hmm. All around, like from your, like as Kim mentioned, from our batchmates and from different classmates, and also from like the upper batches who like Sina Quark, and of course Maria Mora and Ramon De Vera, and everyone in Quark's batch, Chris Costello, drink a lot, all these great people who, you know, sort of helped out.
Helped out everyone
at, you know, one time or another.
Now, I'm sure that a huge part of being in the film industry is learning how to tell a story. So, likewise, we also like to explain. Now, when someone asks us, like, why do you watch wrestling? It's all about telling a story.
Sure.
Right? So, like, that's basically how we ground it for, you know, for the non-fans. So let me ask, like, when you tell a story, are there bits and pieces from the stories you've watched in wrestling growing up that have permeated its way into, you know, the content that you produce?
No.
Yeah, right now. Like, has there ever been...
Yeah, so far.
Yeah. Or any traces, any influences, maybe not necessarily yung conflict in wrestling mismo, pero yung tipong, oh, this guy's gonna turn on this on his best friend, ganyan, ganyan, and it's, you know,
well,
something you probably seen
you
before.
Know, the sort of soap opera nature of wrestling, I think that's a big sort of influence on, like, how you structure, like, you know, backstabby plots and stuff. I mean, it really teaches you about structure. I wouldn't say there's, like, a direct one-to-one, like, you know, I'm gonna write this story that's exactly like when the NW turned on Savage or something like that. But I will say that there's a lot of stylistic influences from wrestling, specifically Japanese wrestling.
Oh, do tell us about this.
Well, Japanese wrestling in the sense that, you know, because I love sports movies to death, but I hate sports. that
sports
is my,
does, maybe sports hates you.
Yeah, or like, I don't know, it's like math. but like real sports, I can't watch it for, because there's no story. Like,
okay,
I can't like latch on, because there's no narrative.
Right,
there's no like clear narrative that's happening. Like, regardless if you tell me, like, oh, but it's happening behind the scenes. If you listen to the, like, I can't latch on to that. But with wrestling, I could, because there's a clear story.
Sure.
And then the stylistic influence of wrestling, from ring entrances to moves, and you know wrestling's really big in Japan, so it's how it's made its way into, like, you see a guy do a DDT or like or a body slam, and like, you know, these random moments in movies that you don't see, and then they do a body slam or
and kind of like The Rock in Furious 7.
Sure. Furious 7, and like, you know, it creeps in that regard. Like, you know, there's always a shout out to wrestling somehow, or even in other formats like wrestling or wrestling like comics.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of hardcore wrestling influence comics out there.
Well, Spider-Man to begin with, the whole origin story.
Oh yeah. No, that's.
Lay up for you, Spider-Man fan.
No. It's great. Like, if you were gonna break down Spider-Man, you'd be a Lucha Libre. You know, wrestler, like a flashy sort of, and yes, that it roots in that. And then there's this great Hellboy comic where he teams up with what is essentially Los Santos, the Mexican deity of wrestling. You know, and takes down these werewolves. Like that, you know, stuff like that is a great premise for a movie. I mean, you have all these great wrestling movies like Ready to Rumble. And, you know, it has been attempted, but then, you know, the closest thing you got was the Wrestler, which was
very well produced.
And, you know.
All right, so we've heard, and we said this at the top of the interview, that there is talk about a documentary about PWR.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of don't want to spoil anything, so I'll let you guys take the lead on this, because I think it's a good
time.
It's
your idea.
Well. Yeah, it's your idea. It might as well be a good time to introduce it. I know a lot of the PWR boys, they
are
listen to the podcast. So, you know, I'm sure this will whet their appetites in one way or another.
And their panties.
I think it was really more a mixed idea. So maybe he can talk about it more. But it was really, I think that was part of the reason why I invited him to go to to one of the events of the in December, because he's you know, he's been telling me about this project that he wanted to do, you know, about Pinoy wrestling in particular. But yeah, maybe si Mick can explain more.
That's also another reason I'm thankful for King, because like he gave me the heads up on this, because I've had this idea for a Pinoy wrestling documentary that I've always wanted to do ever since. And, you know, ever since, even before the PWR got its gears going, I had a fascination with the old, like, where are they now sort of wrestlers. Mm-hmm. And I was talking to this about with King and, you know, Phil D. Like, you know, we should get these guys back together for, like, you know, get the band back together and, like, have them. And but now with this new venue, it made me rethink how we could, you know, sort of attack the documentary, because maybe a lot of these old wrestlers aren't at the snuff anymore. Mm-hmm. Like
Iggy the Igorot might be back in his.
Yeah, yeah. You don't know where these guys are. But,
he might be back up there in the terrace.
But the plan is to follow a young Turk from PWR.
Yeah.
And to follow one of the old guard from the old RJTV 29 wrestlers, follow them and, you know, gain their thoughts on wrestling, the sport, the fans, everything, and, you know, the whole gamut of a docu, and then, you know, have them meet at one of PWR's events.
Yeah.
And then, you know, deal with that match and then, you know, the aftermath of that. Like, one night only, the old RJTV 29 guard is coming back, you know. for one night only.
It's pala naging invasion storyline.
Yeah, yeah. And then it's like they formed their own faction. It's like NWO, and you know, they could spark this whole thing. But really, I just wanted to see like how a new guy who possibly grew up on that generation, and one of the old guys, like, why did he do it? I mean, like, wrestling wasn't as big when these guys were wrestling.
Right, that's true.
You know, they had to get their inspiration from somewhere. And I'm really curious about that, because if you watch all the old RJTV 29 stuff, you see that they do charities and like outreach stuff at orphanages.
Oh, this is the first time I've heard about that.
No, look, that was part of the promos. Like, you would see the Bakal boys and everyone, they were lifting all these small kids. And, like, you know, that really, I will admit, I fucking cried when I saw this. It's like, oh my God, this is so great.
Yeah.
Right? But, you know, you sort of want to see what happened to that. You know, who's taking care of them now? You know, who's you know, for people who gave a lot of people so much joy back in the day, eating chickens, and, you know, you kind of want to see what they have. And, like, you know, again, mentioning the wrestler, you want to see if it's really like Randy the Ram, where, you know, they really want to step in the ring, because they do.
I just want to ask, though, have you actually found any of the old Pinoy wrestlers?
We touched base with one of them, but I'm not sure if he still works there. I think the youngest of them, I'm not sure who that is. It's hard to tell with all the masks and the colors.
Right.
But the last I heard, the youngest of them, I don't even know who. This is how long it's been. it was working in a national bookstore in Cubao.
Uh-huh.
And I think they got a hold of him through, there was a Philippine wrestling fan page on Facebook.
Yeah.
For the old, and I think that's where we got his number.
So you haven't really touched base with this guy since.
So I guess I'm calling out on the fans of the podcast and the PWR.
Yeah.
If you guys have any idea where the old guard is, you know, get in touch with these guys and, you know, let's make that dream match happen.
Yeah, where can our listeners follow you guys on Twitter, just in case there's a lead now, you know, they'd want to share?
King?
Well, you can follow me at King Palisok. That's KingPalisoc.
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter, on Facebook, Mick Vergara, MIHKVRGARA.
Yes. So, all right, this documentary, I'm sure it's about to get the community excited. Kasi, diba, not much is said anymore about the old guard, like you said, diba.
Yeah, yeah.
It's been, what, three decades since they were on TV.
Yeah, when people see PWR, that's what they think of for some reason. They think of the Pinoy wrestling.
Yeah, no, I actually was hopeful when King said, like, wow, maybe these guys know what happened to the old people. So I guess we're all sort of asking that question.
Yes.
Like, where
but
are
we
they
don't,
now?
We don't know either.
Yeah.
So we'd
where
love to
are
know.
They
yeah.
Yeah. Like lahat tayo, we're all in that same spot. Moving forward, though, what are the other projects that you guys have sunk your teeth into, and what other projects can we look forward to from you guys?
King.
Well, right now I'm in the process of finishing a film.
Full length?
A full length film. Wow. I actually can't tell yet the title, but we have a project title called The Wolf Tattoo. Ooh. So maybe if you check out our my Twitter account or on Facebook, you'll see like some BTS photos. But yeah, basically it's a crime drama film that we're trying to do, and I'm not sure yet when it's coming out, but
soon,
hopefully soon. Yeah. So I mean, I can't divulge like information yet.
So no teasers like Usina Bida, like any which actors are involved.
Basta gawa po.
Basta meron po kaming ginagawa. Magtiwala na lang po, guys.
Confi
pa.
Right, for Mick, any upcoming projects that...
Oh, this docu, definitely. Like, hit us up, guys. Let's make this happen.
Yeah.
Oh, do it.
PWR boys, you know where to find them.
All right, and of course, the biggest question, will we be seeing you on May 23 at Revolution X? That is the question.
Of course we are.
No, we just wanted to build
tension.
You will see us there, like unless
and
you'll
probably see and you'll probably see more of our friends.
Yeah. So we'll see. So. And sell beer already, guys.
Yeah. We'll work on that.
We've been working on that for a while.
You guys can bring the cameras. We'll bring the beer.
Yeah, we actually have a lot of our friends who, you know, have been hearing about this whole PWR thing, has been asking us a lot, like, when's the next one?
Yeah, because they, like, a lot of people we invited did show up for the last one, but there's a lot more who didn't.
Holy shit.
Weren't able to show up.
So, yeah, May 23, that's all you need to tell them. May 23, MCS, Revolution X is the name.
Yes.
Yep.
For all the marbles, guys.
That's the very first PWR championship. You know what? I think, and this... It's not just because
I'm a slobber now.
Thank you. And this is not just because we're part of the roster, but you know, first ever PWR championship, great opportunity to like take videos for the documentary.
Yeah, of course.
Right, sure.
So, all right, thank you very much, Mick Vergara and King Palisok. Thank you guys so much for being part
of the
podcast.
So much, guys.
Thank you guys.
See you guys on
May 23.
Yes, we will see you
back here in the studio.
Yes, most definitely.
When Anch does her round two, you guys should come back.
Oh, definitely.
Round two. Moral support. Everyone should do the round two at the same time.
Yeah.
Oh, para masaya, di ba? It'd be like a battle royal inside the production booth.
Para magulo.
Sobrang gulo.
That'll be fun, though.
It'll be a whole lot of fun. Thank you guys so much. We'll be wrapping up this episode of the SGP podcast with our picks of the week in just a bit. Stay with us. It's episode 56 of the Smart Gilas Pilipinas podcast. Thank you very much to our guests for this week, Mick Vergara and King Palisok. Do check out their stuff. They've got their film reels on their Twitter feeds, I believe. So just follow them.
It's available on YouTube for the most part. I know King's full reel is on his website, so you guys can check it out. We'll be posting links on our networks for those of you who want to follow.
Right. So you can also just Google them. Their IMDb links also come out. So it's Mick Vergara, M-I-H-K Vergara, and King Palisok. PALISOC. Now, that being said, it's about time for us to end this week's episode of the podcast, and we can't do that without giving you our most must-see matches of the week, or what we like to call the picks of the week.
Picks of the week!
Let's have Camus start off because he called this
so
first.
Lame. What the fuck?
Thanks, Camus.
Well, okay, my pick of the week is Ziggler Neville. This is the second time I'm going back to Neville. In 2 weeks, but
I was gonna pick this one if you didn't.
It was so good. Yeah. It was so good. I'm just like, Ziggler on his own was motivated coming out, like his initial promo, and issuing an open challenge and having Neville, who is from Newcastle, which is not that far from London.
Yeah, 3 hours away.
3 hours away, as Michael Cole liked to remind us. It's very good for him to have matches like this, even if he's in a losing effort. I mean, some people are already calling him glorified jobber, but the thing is, he's putting on great matches.
Who is calling him glorified jobber?
Upahan natin. Media.
Sino?
Mainstream media.
Sino? Who? Sino?
It's on...
Upahan natin yan. Seriously?
I saw it on Bleacher Report.
Well, Bleacher Report is fucking stupid.
Because they have the videos collated per match.
Really?
It helps. It helps to when I'm doing the review.
You suck.
Why are you reading Bleacher Report? Come on, man.
No, it's
you're
just,
better
it's
than
there.
That.
I am better than that, but it's there for the videos. I'm there for the videos. I don't read.
Glorified jobber, really?
But some people have been calling him a glorified jobber.
That's
on Reddit,
messed up, man.
On Reddit, especially. There's a lot of hate for the way that he's been booked. But the thing is, he's not enhancement talent. He's getting booked in good matches and is performing admirably every single time.
That's the thing.
There is a stigma with him losing. People don't like it.
Because people don't like when something doesn't go their way.
But the thing about Neville is right now, he's made a name for himself in that he's...
as the flippy shit guy.
Yeah, and he's easily the most entertaining part of Raw every week.
That's true.
I even got into a small argument on Twitter with it. I get where you're coming from. I get where people are saying that he's a glorified jobber, but... As long as he doesn't lose in a squash style, as long as he gets to do what he does best, that's fine. But all it takes for him to get over is, what, 1 450 or one...
One red arrow.
Yeah.
His 450 from that match was ridiculous.
Yeah, the 450 from the barricade.
Oh, my God. I mean, we've seen him do it from the apron in NXT, but from the barricade... In a show like this, it's like, oh, lost my shit.
Distance small from the barricade to the ground. It's 4 feet, whereas if I fear from the top, coming from the top rope, it's a good, what, six feet?
Yeah.
It's a good 6 feet. So what a huge difference that makes, diba? So Neville versus Ziggler, that is
Thomas's. My pick of the week. Yeah. So use that.
Yeah, sure. My pick of the week is a Lucha de Apuestas match, or a mask versus mask match that happened in Lucha Underground. Dario Cueto basically put Sexy Star and Superfly against each other, and Superfly turned heel like during the match.
Not completely.
But that was basically the part he was playing, and he played it decently well.
At the same time, there was a reason why he did that.
Right, because he was trying to defend his mask, his honor. And, you know, both these superstars who were supposed to be friends were supposed to take each other's masks off each other. There was a lot of drama in there. Even though I knew that Sexy Star was going to win, just because it didn't seem likely that the...
Not just that. Superfly was already unmasked in Mexico.
That's right. I think this was explained in commentary that it has happened before. So it was nice to see them go at each other, and then yung drama na afterwards, Sexy Star was crying, ayaw niyong tanggalin yung mask ni Superfly, and Superfly had to offer and prostrate himself in front of Sexy Star so she would remove his mask. It was very, very good, a very good dynamic. And parang main event worthy siya, even though it wasn't really a main event, so I appreciated that. And the match itself was pretty good.
Okay naman si Superfly.
Actually, yes. He had that going in his favor.
Yeah, that Juventud Guerrero look.
Yes, exactly.
Juventud Guerrero look.
Yeah, young Juventud.
Exactly.
Before the drugs.
Before the drugs.
And the alcohol. So yeah, Sexy Star versus Superfly, mask versus mask from Lucha Underground. Great match if you haven't seen it yet.
Catch it before you watch this week's episode.
Exactly. Do catch that.
My pick is a pick from 2 weeks ago, actually. It's from NJPW Invasion Attack.
Oh,
where all the Americans, all the Gaijins are in action.
Actually. Well, is Shelton Benjamin on the card, though? Shelton Benjamin X?
Shelton X Benjamin.
Shelton X Benjamin.
I'm not sure, actually. I haven't finished watching the show because 4 hours of Japanese wrestling is too much to get to. In one sitting.
It's true.
I mean, props to you if you can do it in one sitting, but I could not.
Whoever you are, if you have the time and you're employed, congratulations to you.
Because it's not just funny. It's non-stop action.
Yep.
It's
the pacing.
It's not like a WWE pay-per-view where...
You can fast forward a bit.
Because me filler na konti. Anyway, my pick is the IWGP Junior...
Heavyweight. IWGP Junior Tag Team
Championship match. The Young Bucks... versus Roppongi Vice. Other than RPG Vice is really, really catchy theme song. It was a really good match.
And the fact that these guys are a relatively new tag team to begin with.
Yeah. And I'm always a big fan of Trent.
Question mark.
No, he's actually Beretta in NJPW. Beretta.
So would they actually let him use Beretta?
No, because he's not Trent Beretta. He's either just Trent or question Beretta or Trent something else. Entirely, like Greg Maraschulo in TNA.
Right.
it was a really good match, and a lot of people hate the Young Bucks, but that's their heel shtick now, that they turn up the indie to 11.
Yeah,
just so people would hate them. That's the entire gimmick.
And the thing is, the gimmick's working.
Mm-mm.
The gimmick's working. I mean,
it's working so far as they're actually getting some heel heat, because people are always telling them that's not the way you should wrestle. But at this point, it's really so meta. Say now they're exploiting that to get heat.
Yeah. And it's ridiculous at this point to criticize them for their athleticism.
Mm.
But the thing is, these guys are must watch.
And not just that, the story in the match was amazing. But it's hard not to root for the underdogs, since especially Rocky Romero lost his partner, Alex Kozlov,
semi-retirement. And the thing was, Forever Hooligans was one of my, you know, when we saw them at Wrestle Kingdom 9, I was really like, these guys are pretty fucking fun to watch.
Mm.
But seeing RPG Vice do their thing, it's great.
And not just the Young Bucks weren't just heels in this new meta sense, but they were also still heels in the traditional sense. Now, they were the ones bullying RPG Vice. And, you know, that obviously makes you want to see them go down.
Yep.
And everything was just played out well. And I'd like to think the right people won.
Yep. And if you guys haven't seen Invasion Attack, please do catch it. It's a very good show.
It's not like, I don't think it's like the quintessential NJPW show
to catch.
It's not like the show you have to watch from NJPW.
But it's one of the most solid shows that they have, even without Okada, Tanahashi, or Nakamura headlining the show.
All right. You're good? You good? All right. That brings us to the end of this week's episode of the SGP Podcast. We have to thank, of course, the people who help us make this possible. Thank you very much to our friends from Mellow 94.7 for always letting us use the equipment. Thank you as well to our friends from PWR, who are huge, huge supporters of the podcast. Please help us keep this going by subscribing to the SGP Podcast on iTunes or on Google Play. You can also subscribe on Buzzsprout, where we directly upload the episodes and where you can play them right after we post them every Friday or Saturday. And if there's anything you want to tell us, anything you agree with, disagree with, or just want to talk to us about, you can always hit us up on Twitter. It's @_StanC for me.
@CavemanCamus.
@RoseWar.
And you can also like our page. It's facebook.com/TheSGPPodcast. Yeah, that's right. Our page. At the SGP Podcast on both Facebook and on Twitter. And if I think if we haven't reminded you yet, we're reminding you once again that May 23 is the date for PWR Revolution X.
But we do have a pre-event, a press conference things happening on May 1st at the Rumpus Room in Cubao X. We'll also be having a WWE 2K15 tournament featuring PWR roster members and superstars.
So that's all happening on May 1. We're going to give you more details next week, which will be, right, I think, a week right before it happens.
Yep.
So yeah, more details coming next week. In case you're interested, save your May 1 block to date. It's a holiday, mind you. It's Labor Day. So do reward yourself by having fun with your favorite wrestling fans and PWR superstars.
That is, if you're not going to Boracay.
Mm.
Or, you know, other beaches.
Please, maraming tao sa Boracay. Do yourselves a favor and stay. Well, don't stay home, but don't go.
Go
there.
To fucking Cubao X.
Yeah. And hey, new guys, new PWR superstars, wannabes in the makings. You know, we're going to see you this Sunday. That depends on when you're listening to this episode. If you're listening to this before this Sunday, before Sunday, April 19th.
On Saturday.
Mm-hmm. Sana.
Sana.
Sana earlier. Eh?
Yeah.
Eh?
I'm trying.
We hope to see you there.
Yeah, hope April to 19th. See you at the new and improved PWR boot camp for now.
In the new and improved Fit Plus.
Oh. Mas kasha na lahat ng tao dun.
Yes, Bobby.
All right, that's all happening April 19. We totally want to see you there. It's getting late on this Thursday night. We're sleepy. We have shit to do tomorrow, so we're going to sign off right here. Thank you so much for being part of episode 56. Thank you. One last thank you to our guests, Mick Vergara, King Palisok, and thank you to you. No, thank you. Thank you for always listening and still being part of this ride with us. We're out of here. Peace out.
Peace.
Sayonara.